Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action, the podcast for October 19th, 2020. I'm your host, Zach, and we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch of stuff to dive into this week. We got to talk about the end of Quibi that everyone saw coming. We got our first look at Uncharted, the movie, and a bunch of other stuff as well. But first, let's kick things off with some trailers. We got the trailer this week for the next big Disney movie that's coming in March next year. As long as everything doesn't get, like, if things, like, get improved, then it'll probably be in March, but it might be a Disney Plus, this might be another, like, premium access movie or something.
Yep.
Things go downhill, but, Raya and the Last Dragon, is the next big Disney movie, starring, Kelly Marie Tran as Raya, who is, like, a Asian warrior princess who is, like, on this quest to find the Last Dragon, as you can tell from the title. Like, there used to be a bunch of dragons in, like, this world that, like, she lives in, but they all, like, sacrifice themselves to, like, destroy this, like, evil force that was, like, threatening humanity. But now there's, like, one left, and then she needs to find it to, like, kind of, like, reunite humanity, because they're all, like, in, like, different tribes and different, like, groups.
Yeah, it's just, like, four color groups that seem like they're all, like, the same group. It's just that they have, like, wacky pets.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone's been pointing out, like, this looks like Disney is basically doing, like, Last Airbender or something, or Korra.
I got that vibe. I got that vibe real fast.
Mm-hmm. And then probably because it's Disney, like, a little bit of, like, Mulan in there, a little bit of, like, Moana.
Yeah, I mean, it follows that art style, and it has the spirit of, like, like, it feels like it's got good talent behind the art, so it's not like, oh, like, the character looks great, but the background looks terrible. They, like, everything flows together.
Mm-hmm. It looks like some cool martial arts action stuff. Like, there's, like, the whole, like, opening sequence of the trailer where, like, it's, like, Indiana Jones mixed with martial arts, I guess.
Yeah.
Where she's breaking into, like, a temple.
Very playful in the exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the one part I don't like is the trailer showing me too much about her training, because now we know that she's been training as a kid to be a guardian.
Yeah.
And then her, like, fun pet becomes, like, this giant ball. So that's like, oh, well, we're not going to get that surprised.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Like I said, I mean, I'm already sold on the idea. There's got a lot of people probably, like, wanting more, or being very judgmental that they need to see more things to be sold on. But I'm very easy sell with Disney movies lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so March 12th is when this is hopefully going to hit theaters. hopefully wait and see, what goes on next year. And then coming to Netflix next month on November 25th, just in time for Thanksgiving and the holidays, is The Christmas Chronicles 2. So Kurt Russell is back as Cool Santa. and this sequel is, it looks like it's taking place pretty much mostly at the North Pole. So, like, the first movie was Santa, like, loses his sled and is, like, wandering around just the regular world, but now, like, kids are coming to Christmas, like, North Pole for, like, to help Santa with a, there's, like, the Julian Dennison, who was, like, in Deadpool 2, and then also, like, I think, like, Quest for the Wilder People was, like, the big one that he was in before he was, like, in Deadpool 2, but, like, he's some sort of, like, evil, like, he has some sort of, like, vendetta against Santa. Like, it's like, he's, like, stealing the Christmas star that's like the powers of the North Pole.
Who knew that the power of this of like the North Pole is just the star and not like, you know, the North Pole polar caps or something.
Mm-hmm. And then the big addition, which was teased at the end of the first movie, is that Goldie Hawn is co-starring as Mrs. Claus. And then Darby Camp, who was Kate in the first movie, is back as well, and she's like, it's her, and then her, like her mom's boyfriend's son is along for the ride. Like apparently, like her brother from the first movie is just like
gone.
College or like we're doing like busy, so it's just like,
well, how much time has passed?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, oh, it's the next day, but she had to go.
it's probably at least a couple years, I would imagine. And and they get sucked from like their Cancun vacation to the North Pole because a portal opens up to the North Pole. And then it looks like all kinds of like new. Like stuff that was in the first movies, it's back, like the weird elves and stuff, but then there's like new stuff, like there's like the Yule Cat, which is like this like giant like saber tooth, like it's like a crazy like apex predator cat that lives in the North Pole that like Kurt Russell's like hunting.
Like that's not mentioned in the beginning of the first movie, right? It's just kind of like, yeah. It's just something I do now, just trying to kill this cat.
It's just what cool Santa does, like he hunts this like crazy like Star Wars cat monster like. But I'm a little worried that it totally being in the North Pole, like it might lose a little bit of like the like fish out of water charm of the first one, where like it was just like Kurt Russell wandering around just like being Santa in like our world, and this one seems like a little bit more maybe like kid friendly and like maybe not have like some of that stuff in it, like some of the humor might be missing in it, but the first one was fun, so hopefully this will be just as fun. And November 25th on Netflix, you can gather the family and watch that. And then also in November 20th, the Animaniacs are back.
Ooh.
I think we've known about for a little bit here, but we finally got the first full trailer for the revival, which it basically feels like they never left. Like this trailer is like as fresh and funny as like anything that they did in the 90s. And it helps that everybody's back too. Like, so like Rob Paulsen, Jess Harnell, Tress MacNeille, and Maurice LaMarche are all back. It seems like this new version is going to be only Yakko, Wacko, and Dot, and Pinky and the Brain. So none of the other weird like side characters are going to be.
Aunt Sally. Slappy,
like Rita and Runt, the Good Feathers.
Oh, the Good Feathers was good. Like I didn't get it as a kid, but now as an adult, I was like, whoa.
It's like it's a pidgey version of Larry Loda. Like whoa. Chicken Boo. Remember Chicken Boo?
Like that was. I didn't like Chicken Boo.
The weird, creepy chicken who just like wanders around.
Yeah, and then like it falls in love with like women fall in love with it.
Yeah.
And then the mask falls off, and then they freak out.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of those characters will be like, maybe they'll have cameos. Hopefully, maybe at some point, or they will show up. Maybe they won't have like full segments themselves, but hopefully, maybe they'll like show up.
Yeah, like side characters.
Yeah. But yeah, they are. But yeah, it definitely like it's. It seems like it's going to be very topical, very like meta as always. Like they're like they're commenting on like pretty much everything current that's happening right now. And yeah, I mean the animation style looks it's like slightly different, but like it's, I mean it looks, everything looks great. So, and it's going to be 13 new episodes starting on Hulu on November 20th. So. Definitely excited with that. And then actually, if you wanted to looking for something to do before these new episodes, I believe the entire original show is on Hulu right now. You can watch all those episodes. And Pinky and the Brain, I think, are like they're like solo shows also on Hulu if you wanted to watch that too. There was Hulu signed some big deal I think a couple years ago maybe, where they got Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, and Pinky and the Brain, and like a bunch of other like Warner Animation stuff on there. So
Interesting. I mean, I kind of forgot that they did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, Steven Spielberg is back as a executive producer as well, so...
But, you know, he kind of just threw money at it. I don't think he actually did, like, any jokes. You know, it's not like, oh, I got some comedy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the teaser before this this full trailer was like a Jurassic Park parody, so...
Mm. I think he probably okayed it.
I think that like he uses clout to like basically just get them whatever like
the resources they need.
Yeah, so I make fun of like whatever like this movie. I'll go talk to like that person. But yeah, definitely looking for that. Like definitely seems like a good thing to like distract from the dumpster fire of 2020. or just like totally make fun of it and like just like riffle on how insane it is. So moving on to other news, we got some news actually breaking today when we're recording this. Tim Burton is apparently going to be executive producing and possibly directing a new Addams Family TV show.
Crazy.
Live action Addams Family TV show.
I'm for it. Like, I recently saw the Addams Family cartoon show, and I was fine with it, because it's like, I need this in my life now, like, this gothic family.
The new animated movie, or, like, the original, like, 90s show?
You know, the new animated movie. The one that's made by, like, the Minion guys.
Yeah, Illumination.
So, like, it's fine, because it's like, the concept of Addams Families is very classic. It's kind of like the Munsters, too.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's not as, like, beat you over the head with, like, how different these people are. Like, so I just enjoy the Addams Family stuff.
Yeah.
And they kind of just evolve with, like, the times. So I'm down for more. But I feel like it comes in waves. Like, it's like everyone wants more of it, and then everyone wants none of it.
Yeah. I think it's getting a sequel, so it must have made, like...
Oh, no, it made money, but I'm saying, like... But it was like a good pace, you know. And then I'm only worried is that it's like, uh-oh, like now no one wants to see anything.
Yeah. I mean, in the 90s, it was like all Addams Family all the time because there was the two movies, which are both classics, and then the like
TV show,
the ABC like Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh yeah, and then, but there was also a live action TV show too.
Yeah, like back in like the 60s or whatever.
No, there was another one.
Everyone forgets it.
Like it got buried, but it was on like Family TV or something, which is now like Freeform. Like
The Family Channel.
It was on the Family Channel, and then it became ABC Family, and then it became like Freeform.
Yeah. The OG like 60s show is on Pluto TV. Like there's like a 24/7 Addams Family channel. You can just watch that all 24/7 if you wanted. But yeah, I mean, Tim Burton is kind of the perfect choice, because like the two 90s movies, like they felt like Tim Burton movies, even though he had nothing to do with them, as Barry Sonnenfeld. But like you could tell they were like trying to trying to make it as Tim Burton-y as they could without him
like suing
involved with it. Yeah. And hopefully we get kind of like a return to form Tim Burton and not like current Tim Burton, because what was the last really good Tim Burton movie?
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, that was
it's opinionated. I like Sweeney Todd.
So. I like Sweeney Todd. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I didn't really care for what's that Shadows one?
Oh, Dark Shadows. That was
Dark
terrible.
Shadows. It just didn't click with me. I know some people liked it, some people didn't, but it just didn't click with me.
Yeah. Yeah, his run from Planet of the Apes forward was like really it was just like wow. Cuz it was like Planet of the Apes and then Big Fish, which is like a people that's critically acclaimed.
But I like Big Fish. It's like a Coen's brother movie though.
Yeah. Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Dumbo.
Oh, I forgot he did Dumbo.
Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which I haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen it? It's got Dark Shadow vibes again.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a confusing subplot where, at least I didn't understand it when I saw it twice, like, because it's about, like, Asa Butterfield taking care of these kids and being their guardian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a job that, like, his grandfather did. And I can't tell if his grandfather also fell in love with the same girl that he's currently protecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and then, like, Eva Green is just, like, in that movie for 5 minutes.
Even though every trailer and every poster, like, revolved around her.
Yeah, and then it's like, at least, I think in the series, like, she appears more, but it's like, they find a reason to kind of get her off screen for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot. You're just like, what is happening? So, again, worth seeing. I don't mind that movie. It's just, it's not on TV anymore.
Yeah. I think it's on HBO, maybe. HBO, HBO Max is like one of their offerings.
I see.
But yeah, hopefully you get more of like a the Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, Batman style Tim Burton for this Addams Family show, and not like the Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Tim Burton.
Classic to form, gothic and weird.
Yeah. I think also, like, the casting is very important, too. Like, you gotta get the right, like, cast, especially for, like,
Gomez Adams.
Gomez and Morticia, yeah.
Just get Isaac.
Oscar Isaac?
Yeah. Oscar Isaac. He was the voice in it, and it's like, he is pretty good as Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you can't be, you know, the original, or not the original, but the 90s Raul, Raul Julia. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Angelica Houston and Raul Julia are, like, absolutely perfect.
Yeah. So it's hard to, like, match, so it's like, at least do your own thing as best you could.
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to see what's going on with this, the Addams Family show. There's no word of, like, if there's a what network it's going to be on, or, like, what, like, anything, it's just Tim Burton's involved right now, so. Or is in talks to be involved, that'll probably happen, so. So, moving on, we got our first look this week as well, first official look at Tom Holland as Nathan Drake on the set of the Uncharted movie. Like in a promo shot from the Uncharted movie. It's real. Apparently, it's happening.
It's a thing. It's not just a fever dream.
After, like, God knows how many years and, like six different directors. Like.
And the fact that Mark Wahlberg aged out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been developing so long. Mark Wahlberg went from being Nathan Drake to being Sully. But yeah, I mean, it's Tom Holland in, you know, classic Nathan Drake. He's got the Henley, he's got the khaki pants, the gun holster.
I mean, people say that it's good for, like, making it look like the video game, but I'm like, isn't Nathan Drake in his, like, late 20s, early 30s in the first game? And
I think they said this, I think this is going to be, like, it's not like super young Drake flashbacks from, like, the games, but, like, not quite, like, Uncharted, like, Drake's Fortune Drake
yet.
Right,
right. Which is fine. I want them to do their own take before they get into the video game series too much. But the thing about the Drake series is that each game is a different, like, item. It's kind of like Indiana Jones. Like, you don't need to follow a template, like, a very serious plot template. You can still have fun with, like, a unique story that still has, like, great characters. So that's the thing about the games. It's not like Resident Evil where they, like, fundamentally changed a lot about that game, like, that movie. And so this is considered, like, a video game movie, but I feel like they can tell its own, like, adventure story that is based on these characters. You know, like, I hope it's not like the first movie shows up and now it's like, oh no, we gotta find, like, you know, Drake's fortune. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like there's a couple other show notes, because, like, Nolan North went to the set.
Ooh.
And he posted like a photo of like there's like a weird artifact in like a book that has Magellan in it. So like this, so this art, this artifact has like, or like this movie has something to do with like Magellan, or something with Magellan. And then Ruben Fleischer is the director after many others fell off. And obviously he brought us Zombieland and Venom before this, so. And they're looking at a July 16th release next year, so. It's after many years, it's actually apparently happening. So.
I mean, I'll see if it. I can't wait till like the trailer comes up, because until then, there's still a chance where like Mark Wahlberg pulls out and just like, I don't want to be in this movie anymore.
Yeah. I'm sure like very soon we're gonna get like the Mark Wahlberg is Sully promo shot. So maybe by the time we hear it like next week, we'll have that to talk about.
Yeah, I'll be sold on that. That seems fun.
So other news, news that should not shock anybody, but Quibi is officially dead. After 6 months as a streaming service, it's officially going away. Jeffrey Katzenberg, the CEO of Quibi, said they couldn't. Last we heard, they were possibly trying to sell Quibi to like a different, like a different buyer or a different like company. No one was interested apparently. So, they're trying to sell it to like Facebook and NBC. And neither of them were appealing interested, so yeah, it's just completely shutting down. And then they'll probably sell off like the bits, they might sell off like the IP to different places, or sell like the turnstile tech to like someone maybe.
I mean, it's a good idea if it's like I just don't want Quibi 2. Like, it's a good idea to have these shows that are like mobile and kind of like this fun interactive where you are. That was a good idea. Everything else wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, like having exclusive shows that were like super limited in time. So if you got really into it, you're just like, well, I need to go to work. Like, I don't want to sit in my car to finish this TV show.
Well, I mean, they probably should have waited and not released it in like the middle of a pandemic where no one was traveling or like commuting. Cause like their whole thing was like, you can watch it on the phone on the bus to work. It's like, no one's on the bus to work. So
The another crazy part was like, who was putting a gun to their head to like, you have to release it now.
Yeah. I don't know. They had $2 billion that they had to
make like, up
spend and make up. Yeah.
But it's like, what's another million to lose, or like another few million to lose to just wait in order to like get money back? Like, I mean, granted, I don't know the business, but I feel like whatever loss they could have used to like pay off the debt, it's better than just launching it and being a hilarious failure like this. Mm-hmm. Unless they were like really desperate. They're like, we just need some money. And then just even the some money was like no money.
Well, the weirdest thing too about this, like this news that it's shutting down, is that basically on the same day they said they're shutting down, they put the app on like Apple TV and Android TV and Amazon Fire TV.
Do I have to like drag my TV outside to watch it?
Yeah, you gotta spin your TV vertically to like get the effects.
I need to order the Quibi app, like the Quibi like attachment to my Roku or something, and like flip that around.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty much a disaster from day one. Like, there was, like, no, you couldn't share anything. You couldn't share, like, clips or, like, even share, like, links or anything. Because, like, which, like, completely destroyed, like, any sort of, like, viral, like virality it would have had. Yeah, like people were, like, using, like, one phone to take a picture of their other phone to, like, share clips. Or, like, the only thing I, like, really, like kind of, like, broke out from Quibi is like the terrible first episode of 50 States of Fear, which is like the Sam Raimi show, because it was like everyone was just like, because it was like Rachel Brosnahan from like the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel had like a golden arm, and it was like, and then the also like, and like Travis Fimmel from Vikings, and then they're like co-starring as this couple, and it's just like all about like her arm got cut off, and then she got a golden arm.
I forgot about that. I did see that. It was like, yeah, there's no marketing for that.
So people were like filming clips from that show on one, running on one phone, and then filming with like another video or camera or phone because you couldn't share like GIFs or clips from the Quibi app. But that was like the only thing that really broke out or like became like a meme because of how like ridiculous and terrible it was. But yeah, no one was talking about anything else really on Quibi. Like no one was talking about like the most dangerous game reboot or.
Yeah, like we joked that Christoph Waltz like kind of like didn't mention it a lot. Like, yeah, I was in the most dangerous game. Like, were you? He's like, I think.
Yeah.
Like, none of the actors. I think besides maybe like the one Hemsworthy brother, Liam Hemsworthy, was just like, yeah, I was on the show. Like, okay, was it good? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Man, I can't even imagine like someone paying for Quibi and now it's dead. Like, what a waste of money that was.
Man, I can't imagine if you actually did get into it, like how upsetting. Because it's like, oh, I paid for the subscription, you know. It's like, oh, it's canceled. Just like what? And just like, yeah, thanks for your money. Bye.
Yeah.
Granted, like, so can any streaming network. Like, Netflix one day could just turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a weird thing. That's what happens about, like, physical media. Like, the good thing about physical media is that, like, you know, Warner Brothers is going to kick down my door and take away my DVD.
Yeah.
But, like, if you really love Quibi, how the hell are you going to watch a show again if the service turns off? Like, I imagine people more upset, even for me, is, like, Reno 911, because I would see, like, later on, I think Quibi figure out people want to see clips of it or commercials of it. So, like, I would see bits and it's like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I would see that. But then it's like, oh, well, it's just probably going to go right back to Comedy Central now. Just like a whole bunch of Quibi clips.
So, yeah, so I guess if you like watch Quibi while you can, because it's going to be gone soon. Although, there's no like there's no 90-day like trial anymore. It's like a week trial, so it's probably not even worth it. Like, but yeah, it's dying like it lived.
Fast and confusing.
Confused, desperate, like no idea what it wants to be. Like, so yeah, so R.I.P. Quibi. You join MoviePass in the world of like massive tech company disasters. So moving on to other news, there is a Smokey and the Bandit TV show apparently in the works from Universal, with like a super group of like comedy produced like behind it. So like the David Gordon Green, Danny McBride, Jody Hill, the team that has brought you like Righteous Gemstones and Vice Principals are teaming up with Seth MacFarlane for this Smokey the Bandit show. And David Gordon Green is going to co-write and executive produce the show and then also direct the pilot. And then Dan McBride and Jody Hill are going to executive produce it. And then Seth MacFarlane will executive produce it.
I'm in for it. They seem good combo.
So yeah, definitely expect a very comedic TV show from everybody. I wonder, like, is it going to be like 10 episodes? Are they going to drag the plot of the movie to like 8 or 10 episodes? Like, it's going to be like an 8-hour way more mishaps on the drive to like Atlanta, like.
I don't know. I mean, did you ever see The Detour, that show where like this family tries to go on a road trip?
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot more like stops, I guess, things along the way.
Yeah, maybe it'll be more like more episodic stops. Yeah. it'll still have like the overarching plot of like we gotta get this beer from Texarkana to Atlanta in like a day, but
it just seems like a long time now.
Yeah, but I think the big thing though is like who can replace Burt Reynolds?
I don't know, just like I don't Ryan Reynolds. Just as a joke.
Yeah. Everyone's gonna start growing mustaches, and you just gotta judge it by who has the best mustache.
Yep. We also need like the sheriff, the guy that's like chasing them.
Yeah.
You need a good compliment to your Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. And you need the Sally Field equivalent. But yeah, so I guess we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe because of like their ties to HBO, maybe this might be an HBO show, but it could be anywhere basically. But like, I mean, all of David Gordon Green and Dan McBride and Jordan Hill's shows have been on HBO, so they probably have a pretty good relationship with HBO.
Yeah, pretty good contract to just stay there.
Yeah. So, so get ready for smoking the Bandit action, possibly in the future. They definitely need an update of the, they need like an updated version of the theme song, too.
Yeah, I can't remember the themes, though. I haven't seen the movie in, like, years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the closest thing we've gotten to like a reboot or like some sort of like new Smoking the Bandit is basically like that like is like the season of Archer, where like I think it was the Archer Vice season where like Cheryl became Charlene and like everything like that.
Oh yeah, they flipped it over where she was the star.
Yeah. Because I think they did like a full on like Smoking the Bandit episode. I mean, Burt Reynolds showed up in an episode, because that was the whole running joke for every season up to that point was like that Archer loves Burt Reynolds and like his favorite movie is Gator and stuff. So, but yeah, there was a Charlene cover of like the Smokey the Bandit theme.
Down for it again. It's like, are they gonna make it modern times? Are they gonna make it kind of like a retro,
like a 70s period piece, like
because like half the things we do with Smokey and Bandit was that like you couldn't stop them because they were just driving and using CB radio to call friends and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be like weird if like modern day like we gotta get this beer to like we gotta get this beer to the Dry County or whatever. It's like just like you like there's like. You can get it on, like, Drizzly, like, quick, yeah. Like, order on your phone. Like, you don't need this, like, bootlegger guy in his muscle car to, like, deliver beer. So, yeah, they probably have to, like, figure out, like, a new, possibly, like, a new, like, thing that, like, is, like, you need, it's, like, illegal and, like, you have to get to, like, between, like, states. But speaking of TV shows or movies becoming TV shows, we got official confirmation from Disney that the Willow TV show that's going to be at Disney Plus is 100% confirmed, and that John M. Chu is going to be directing it, who directed Crazy Rich Asians. And Warwick Davis is back as Willow, and Ron Howard is going to executive produce the show. It's going to be Disney Plus exclusive.
Is it a follow up sequel?
Yeah, it's years after the movie, obviously, and Willow's apparently on a new adventure, or like there's new characters and all sorts of new fantasy stuff happening.
Okay, like it's a fun world. Yeah. I liked it with Val Kilmer because it was like the Conan ripoff guy, and then, you know, him trying to do all the work, but Willow is just kind of like learning magic.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think Val Kilmer will be back.
Coming back. Yeah, that's fine. But you know, the thing about Willow is that like he had like a Rudy spirit of just never giving up.
Mm-hmm. You could probably like I'm sure you could probably just get like a Jason Momoa or something. Like you get someone could be like the new like Val Kilmer character. That's like I'm like the traditional warrior dude that like joins Willow.
Yeah, I'm the muscle.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so coming to Disney Plus. No, I don't think they have released it yet. I would imagine probably a couple years off. They're gonna start shooting it next year. So maybe like 2022, we'll see like the Willow show.
Yeah.
I think it's on Disney Plus right now. If you haven't seen Willow and want to watch Willow.
I always forget it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, it came with Lucasfilm when it's along with like Star Wars.
But not Indiana Jones?
I think there's a weird like Paramount I think has the rights to those. So I think there's some weird like it was like a joint Lucasfilm Paramount thing. So I don't think Disney yet, like fully owns Indiana Jones or doesn't have like the I think it might be the same some sort of weird thing with like the like isn't just like refusing to like release the original Star Wars movie? Like,
well, it's in like limbo hell with like CBS, Fox, and Disney. Everyone's got like a hand in it.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some sort of like deal with like. Because they were like, technically they were like, the Indiana Jones movies are Paramount movies, so. I think Disney can make new Indiana Jones movies, but they might not be able to like put like, any of those movies on Disney Plus or anything. Because those movies are like airing like almost 24/7 on like the Paramount Network. It's like Bar Rescue and Indiana Jones. But get ready for Willow. Go check out the original if you haven't seen it. It's a fun 80s fantasy movie. And that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything in the last week or so here?
I have. I saw a few movies that had a common theme, and maybe you could figure it out. Okay. So the first movie I saw was Sonic, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yep.
And I liked it. It was enough of like the lore, and then enough of the like human elements to make it a fun movie.
Yeah.
It didn't try to do too much and force so much of, like, other things people don't understand about Sonic. But it did enough, like, reality of just, like, hey, you have this, like, anamorphic hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. I liked it. James Morrison was fun. I feel like he always gets stuck in movies that he has to talk to, like, an imaginary co-star.
Yep. Ben Schwartz is a fantastic Sonic.
He is.
And then you get like just pure uncut 90s Jim Carrey, like Jim Carrey like stepping out of a time machine for like the said like the mask or something. It's like now I'm Dr. Robotnik.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that he's like, oh, you know, I don't think Sonic and Dr. Robotnik they trade quips, but I mean, it is almost like I'm used to that from like the cartoons and then mm-hmm. some of the video games. But it's like Jim Carrey really brings a whole new level of Robotnik that is just like Psycho Ace Ventura.
Yes.
So it's a little different, but I'm fine with it. Like I'm a Jim Carrey fan, so I expected that going right into that. But if you're not, like it's a lot of Jim Carrey.
he doesn't have the superpowers, but like he has sort of like the like how like Homelander and the boys is like, I'm like better than every person on this planet. Like,
yeah, the cocky attitude.
Yeah, like Robotnik's like, I'm smarter, I'm superior to every person on this planet. Everyone else is a fucking moron. but then he's constantly getting beat by Sonic.
Or James Marsden. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun dynamic. Because that's another thing. This whole movie was like an excuse to make more like Quicksilver-esque scenes.
Yeah, they definitely. That's like the big like thing with Sonic's speed is like it's like he's moving so fast he can like go everything else in slow motion.
My question to that was, oh, he knows how to do that. Like his powers are, he's aware of them. I was confused in the beginning because he was able to get darted. Like in the beginning, he gets like tranquilized. So I was like, wait, what happened? Why is it just like selectively?
Yeah. His weird like owl guardian that has not been in any of the games. Did it teach you that?
Yeah, just weird owl guardian. That's the part I was like, what? But they quickly just like, nah, don't worry about it. Not even a flashback or
that got like in the owl guardian got like killed by like echidnas. I think.
I guess so.
So like they're possibly setting up Knuckles, and I mean they definitely set up Tails for the next one, but probably Knuckles too.
Honestly, I feel like he's a good villain if they keep going with it.
Jim Carrey and Knuckles team up, it'll be the plot of Sonic 3.
Yeah, like, well, it's like he tricks him, and it's just like, oh, thank you for helping so I could steal the Chaos Emerald, which they didn't introduce yet, which is fine. I feel like they didn't need to do all that just yet.
They had to set up their version of the rings, which the rings are apparently portals, too.
They didn't like that so much. That was a little too much.
Yeah. The rings have never, like, I don't, like, the rings were, like, they gave him like they let him like because he's already fast, but like the rings make him even more fast in like the cartoon, I think. But then yeah, here it's like, oh, they're magical portals that you can like whatever, if you think about somewhere you can go there.
I just think about the consequences of doing that, and then you just like murder someone by accident.
But yeah, definitely super fun, a super fun movie.
Yeah, just totally like right what I expected to be. Like I thought it'd be like it met expectations and it went a little bit more, but it's totally like what I thought. But yeah, the next movie I saw was Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
And it's another movie where like someone is just like, oh, you're thrown into the situation, you have to help it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a talking animal. So,
did you watch it like one of the
back
like
to back?
Well, yeah. I was gonna say, like, how many hours is Hocus Pocus playing on like Freeform? Like, it's like 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day.
Oh, it's like, is it dark outside? Hocus Pocus is on.
Yeah.
It I'm just thinking the movie definitely built up a fandom base because I remember maybe a year or two after Hocus Pocus, like it didn't have such a big fandom base, but I guess over the years.
I think it was wasn't it a flop? I think when it came out, and then
I feel like it was a flop, right?
And then, it's definitely built up this like massive cult.
And oddly for a Disney movie, it says virgin a lot. Like they're very obsessed about it.
Yeah.
I do appreciate Freeform's, marketing where they do bring that up. They're like, hey, this movie, it's about like magic and virgins. Like, what? In the commercial, it's like that. And so if you haven't seen it in a while, it's about these like this family that moves from California to Salem, Massachusetts, and them getting acquainted. And the teenage boy, I gotta look up his name.
It's Omri Katz.
Really?
I'm on the Hocus Pocus Wikipedia right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, which I just learned, I think it was, like, last week, like, Toy Galaxy, the YouTube channel, they do, like, a like history of, like, a show or a toy line every week. And, like, they did, like, Erie, Indiana, So, like, Omri Katz is the kid from Erie, Indiana as well.
I forgot that, yeah.
Yeah. And also, little Thora Birch.
Oof. I mean, cute, but she, her, didn't her career, like, not take off well?
She was just in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, like, her parents stole her money.
Maybe, yeah.
I forgot that. Anyway. Yeah, it's, Hocus Pocus is definitely a cult classic because it's, like, almost a too adultish for a kid's movie, but the parts that are kid-friendly, like, it really is, like, a Disney-esque, I'd almost say a made-for-TV Disney movie quality at some parts.
Well, one of the other weird things about it is that, like, it was, like, co-written by Mick Garris, who, like, created Masters of Horror and, like, directed Sleepwalkers, and, like he's, like, this horror guy, and then it's, like, yeah. I'm gonna write this Disney movie.
I mean, in the beginning, there's a shitload of things that should not be in a kid's movie, where a little girl gets murdered, and then a man gets cursed with, like, a cat attorney, and then three witches are hanged, all in the first, like, 10 minutes, and I was like, whoa, that is quick. The one thing I got a gripe about is how quick the witches, like, it's got that problem with What We Do in the Shadows of having characters that are supposed to be, like, fish out of water, yet they still get, like, local, quickly old terms or modern sayings, or even just understanding certain technologies.
Yeah, I think, like, sometimes they don't understand it at all, but other times they're like, oh, we get this.
Like, there's a scene near the end where, you know, the kids are driving away from the witch's house, and Bette Miller shows up on a broom, and she's just like, hey, kid, do you have your license? And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
How do you not, like, what do you know what a car is? Like, you barely understood what a bus was. And then, a license, like, that's not a thing in your time ever. It's just little subtleties like that. Little subtleties that I still can't figure out, like, how they learned. I understand they, like, read a book, or they did the apocalypse thing from X-Men, where they absorbed TV.
Yeah, learning.
Or she ate a kid and she got her the knowledge. Yeah. Give me that. I don't know what they did to just, like, get it and then not get it. Because, like, they get tricked by a car, a Jeep's, like, headlights. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just, like, there's a varying degree of, like, oh, this is good writing, and then this is weird writing.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like some of the movie production starts dipping near the end. When's the last time you've seen this movie, Zach?
Oh, man, it's been a while.
Okay, so the first, like, two-thirds of this movie have really great sets, and then, like, a lot of, like, shot and location things. Mm-hmm. And then the last part of the movie, maybe the last, like, 20 minutes, is just all, like, a soundstage, and it feels very cheap, because it's at a graveyard. And, yeah, like, all the effects are just not great. And... Yeah, obviously you know what happens at the end when they all blow up, right?
Yeah.
It is way, way toned down. Like, it is not... I thought it was more spectacular. It is just, like, a flashing green light, and it's just done. I'm like, what? But, yeah, there's, like, certain things I like. Like, it's fun. It's dumb sayings. It's a very coherent plot. Like, that part's still good, where you have one night to avoid being... for these witches to be alive and try to get souls to stay alive and follow these rules that their magic gave them, even though I don't understand how it happened. Like, when did they curse a candle to come back? Or why do they still have this candle? Why isn't there, like, a glass box around this candle?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens if you just destroy the candle? Like, do they just disappear? They don't say.
Yeah. Why did no one, like if people know about the witches, like, why do they just, like destroy the candle or something? Like,
yeah, it's really simple. Where this candle, if lit, will bring back the witches. Destroy the candle.
Was there a thing where, like, like only certain people could hear Binks, or could everyone hear Binks?
I think everyone could hear Binks.
Because what the fuck has he been doing for, like, hundreds of years? Like,
just protecting that house. Just not, yeah. See what I mean? Like, as soon as you start unraveling it, there's a lot of questions.
It's like,
it's not like he was captive and he was recently released. It's like, no, he's been alive for a long time, just eating mice and hanging out in this graveyard protecting the candle. Why doesn't he destroy the candle?
Yeah. You, like, your cat, like, you can still knock the candle down, or, like, bury the candle. Yeah,
bury the candle. Don't let it all the parts be in one place.
Yeah.
The fact that they have, like, a Necronomicon book is kind of cool. I don't understand half its powers, because sometimes you open it and it has a beam of light. You can call to it. It has an eyeball for some reason, because it's, like, its own entity.
Yeah.
It's cool looking. It's really messed up for, like, a kid's movie to see, like, an eyeball like that. I just think it's kind of, like, it's very extreme, which I like. You know, like, it's, I always forget, like, that's a kid's movie and it has this detail in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, cast is great. Definitely, Bette Miller is fun. The Sarah Jessica Parker, she totally understood, like, how to play up her character to be, like, the dumb blonde.
Kathy Jimmy.
Kathy and Jimmy, yeah. Fun character. I've never seen, like, so much King of the Hill, I can't not see it was King of the Hill.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it first came out, it's like Disney probably lost $16.5 million on it during its theatrical run.
Wow.
But then, because of airing on, like, Disney Channel and Freeform, and also, like it spiked every year in on home video for Halloween. That's why it became, like, a cult classic. So
that makes sense. It's definitely a movie that it definitely built. It's like, it wasn't supposed to be this block. I mean, like, it was supposed to be a blockbuster, didn't make it, took some time, and just repeated plays annually, because there wasn't a lot of kids horror movies. Like, for Disney, besides, like, Nightmare... Is this before Nightmare Before Christmas, or around the same time?
Oh, I think probably the same time.
Yeah. And here's the thing. This movie came out in July.
Yeah, that's also, like... It's probably why it failed. Because, like, you guys want to see this, like, extremely, like, Halloween movie on July?
So I'm not a big marketing guy, but I know that you don't release a Halloween movie in the summer and expecting, like, it's insanely themed around Halloween. It doesn't just take place throughout the year and ends on Halloween. It starts on Halloween.
Well, I guess, so Nightmare Before Christmas was the same year, and that came out in October. So that must have been well, we got Nightmare Before Christmas is going to be in October, so we'll stick Hocus Pocus in fucking July, and then...
Yeah, but Nightmare Before Christmas is... It can go both ways. It's a movie, if you had a choice. It's like... And that was, like, a bad year for both movies, too, because, like, Nightmare Before Christmas didn't do well in theaters.
Oh, no, Nightmare Before Christmas was, like, a... It wasn't... I don't think it was, like, a... gigantic like box office smash, but like it did good.
Yeah, it did good, but it didn't do like biblical money like it does now. I just definitely remember that year as a kid, I tried to get my parents to, like, take me to one of these movies in theaters, and I think I saw Hocus Pocus in theaters. And I thought it was cool. But then once you watch it, you're like, oh, man, like, there's so many things that just extend this movie. Or there's the unexplained. Like, there's a part where these kids murder the witches by burning them alive.
Yeah.
And then the kids are just like, yeah, we did it. It's like, they're not horrified. They watch these witches burn.
Yeah.
But then the witches are able to, like, reform? I don't understand how that worked. So, it still was fun. You just, you know, I'm seeing it through, like, a fan lens. This is a fan saying it, so I'm not just saying, like, this movie's weird, like, why. But it's a very,
very like mild kids horror movie. I'm gonna say that. It's definitely not Monster Squad, but it's it's a fun like family horror movie. But then you have to explain the concepts of virgins to a kid. Mm-hmm.
It was a different time for Disney movies in the 90s.
I feel like now it's just like, oh, you're a virgin still? Yeah, it's like I'm 16. It's like, aha, you're a virgin. Like, what the fuck? Oh, you don't have a TikTok? What's your dance?
Yeah.
Hocus Pocus now would be this crazy movie. So it's like trying to find not a virgin.
Maybe they'll be in the sequel that's coming to Disney Plus.
I think every year they're trying to get close to finish a script, and they're like, oh, well, no, kids are doing that already. It's like, oh, this kid's vaping? Okay, we gotta, like, change the script now.
Yeah.
Kids are in Tide Pods? Fuck. That's how we defeat the witches. They eat soap.
They're gonna, instead of just a single town Halloween party, they're gonna, like, the Sanderson sisters are gonna make, like, a YouTube video to,
entrance, like, the world or something. Use the internet. Like, Ivan Ooze people, but the internet.
A cursed YouTube video. a cursed TikTok.
You know, that town hall party, I didn't realize that was like a town hall party. That was just like a free to attend party. And that place was popping.
Yeah. Well, that was like, I mean, that was like, that's like the like illusion of like movie Halloween, where like everyone has this like professional level costumes. And so it's always like there's DJ. It's like even like this like local town party has like a DJ and like
a live band.
Yeah, crazy decorations, and like everyone's wearing like hundreds of dollars worth of costumes.
It's crazy. I was like, this is popping. I want to go to this now. Like, so once I saw that, you know, there's like, oh, there's cool elements they can really extend about this, but they these adults are living it up, like an alcohol-free party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the Disney part of it. Like, the movie would have been just like full. That would have just been like a drunken mayhem if it was a Disney movie. that would have been like a Budweiser commercial, like a 90s Halloween Budweiser commercial. So, anything else, Chris?
I finished all of Lovecraft Country.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you finish it too?
Yeah, I saw the season finale this past Sunday.
So, did they confirm they're doing season two?
I think so. I think it got confirmed before the season ended, maybe. I think maybe we're still waiting for confirmation of season two.
Well, either way, it was good. It was like a very logical conclusion. It wrapped up a few storylines. It kind of came full circle for certain characters. So I don't need more of this chapter, but I would like to see more things happening in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like love and hate certain characters. They switch sides real fast. I just have a confusion about what happened to, like, the older sister. Rosie, or whatever her name is.
Ruby?
Ruby.
I think we're supposed to assume she's dead, or, like, in a coma, at least. And then, like, because that's how Christina, the potion worked, is, like the person's in a coma, and you, like, take their blood or something, and you turn it into them.
So you're just in a coma forever, or just...
I think so. I think William and then like the other, whatever the other woman is, name is, like they're like in a, they're like in a coma, they're like both in a coma. Yeah.
Well, William was
or
shot.
Dead.
That's why.
Or dead.
Or maybe. Dead. Yeah.
So again, that was like my only question.
Yeah.
Everything else, I was like, I got mostly answered.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they like if they finished like the like everything in the book yet. Because I never read the book, so I don't know like if there's like a. I think they got pretty close. They probably got pretty close to like. Most of the book is like wrapped up. Because it was like it's the book's divided like different like there's like different 8 different stories and I think they hit on most of them, in the show. But yeah, so I guess we'll have to wait and see if there's a second season or not.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Everything I liked the cast, I liked the cinematography, I like the tension it builds. Here's a show that like they budget their special effects to kind of keep going. You know, like it didn't feel like they kind of went, oh crap, we've got no more FX money, so we're just gonna do everything with like puppets. So like, you know, in sock puppets.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it definitely didn't reach like the heights of like Watchmen for me.
And yeah, I can see that.
I don't think it helped either that they're like, oh, we can do a Tulsa episode too. It's like, all right, I see what you're doing.
Is Tulsa back in again? Let's show you how Tulsa happened. Like, all right, I get it. I mean, it's fine because it's like a Hot Topic show, and I'm pretty sure. They were making this before Watchmen too. It was like,
I wonder like they must have been just like separately like they both came up with the idea of like, hey, let's talk about the Tulsa Massacre. But definitely fun horror HBO show. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the, like I'm not sure what's like next what's next week HBO show. at least for genre stuff, like I don't know what's coming. I don't think there's anything really coming up soon.
Is it more Perry Mason? Because
I mean, there's definitely season 2 for that's coming. I mean, there's like the Game of Thrones prequel, but that's like a couple years off, I think.
So I only say that because like I did not like how Perry Mason ended. What about you, Zach?
Well, I watched a bunch of stuff. I watched a bunch of Shudder stuff because you know it's the spooky season. So I watched, before I get to the show stuff, I'll just mention quick, I saw the second batch of Unsolved Mysteries episodes on Netflix, the volume 2, 16 episodes of the revival are up there. Pretty much the same thoughts and opinions as the first batch. Like they're all very interesting stories and they're shot really well. It's definitely worth checking out if you're like a true crime fan or like into crime documentary stuff. It doesn't have the charm and like the personality of like the original. You know, there's no host in a trench coat in like a foggy alley like narrating things. Like
there's still no host, right?
No, there's still no host. It's exactly the same as the first 6. So like it's the same style, same shooting style. So if you like the first 6, you'll like this next 6. If you weren't into like the first 6, you're probably won't like the next 6 unless there's like a particular story that you might like that you're like really like connect with or something. But they're all very interesting stories. So I think it's still worth checking out. But like if you're an old school Unsolved Mysteries fan, like it's definitely like it's lacking a personality and like a distinguishing, like it's more generic than like the original, but still very good. This second batch episode has the first like ghost episode of the revival, which it's all about. Like, there's like a tsunami in Japan in 2011, and then a lot of people in like the town that is like mostly affected by it. Like they started seeing like ghosts and spirits around.
Okay.
And then there's like one of the episodes is like there's like a guy. Like a guy who killed like this young girl in Chicago, and then like the circumstances of it are insane. Where like he was in death row, and then they abolished the death sentence. Like so, then he was just in life in prison. But then they let for some reason they let him like he he had like a way to like smooth talking and like getting his, like he like got himself in with the guards and stuff, but like they somehow let him go on like this Christmas shopping unsupervised and he's vanished. And he's been missing for like 30 years. Like he vanished like 1973 and he's still they haven't caught him.
One hell of a shopping spree he went on.
Yeah. And then and there's a couple of like unexplained deaths episodes. There's like this guy who was like a White House aide and like a pretty like high up guy in like Washington, like he ended up in a landfill. Like they found his body in a landfill. Like no one knows. There's very like bizarre security footage, like what he was doing before he vanished.
What was he doing?
Like it was like he went to a drugstore and like asked for a ride to like a parking garage. And then he's wandering around the parking garage with like he was like missing a shoe, and then next time he ended up in the sub levels of this hotel, and then he was wearing like a hoodie, like everyone's just like he would never wear a hoodie, like he's only wearing suits.
Oh.
And then he walks past like the front part of the hotel and like vanishes, and then like next time you see him, like he's like dead in a landfill.
It's like a drug deal gone wrong.
It's like no, like he was working for like a government contractor that involved like cybersecurity, but like no one knows, there's like not really any reason like why like that doesn't seem to have anything to do with there doesn't seem like there's like a reason for like someone like murder him because of like what he like his contract was under. And yeah, there's like if you watch the episode, there's just like a lot. There's like a lot of like escalating, like just like weirdness around it. But yeah, they're all definitely worth checking out. But you know, it's missing the Robert Stack factor, missing like the cheesily earnest reenactments of the original.
Is that back or missing?
There's reenactments, but they're like very like stylish, it's not like they didn't hire like young Matthew McConaughey like the original.
Yeah.
Did, like
okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah. All 12 episodes of the revival are on Netflix now, so you can check those out. Yeah. But then back to Shudder. Actually, I watched something on Shudder that was kind of related. It's a little bit related to Unsolved Mysteries because it definitely has the same vibe. So there's a documentary movie on Shudder called Killer Legends. That is basically like there's like this filmmaking duo and they go around and they're basically kind of like investigating like the origins of urban legends, like, and then kind of vaguely tying it to like horror movies. It's like they're like, oh, this horror movie is sort of like inspired by this urban legend. And we're going to explore like the origin of this urban legend. So it's like, you know, it's like the Hook Hand Man or like the babysitter, like the calls are coming from inside the house sort of stuff, you know. And they kind of like they like look into like cases that are probably like the origins or like the like kind of what probably inspired like those urban legends. So you know, for the killer with the hook hand and like is like attacking like couples in cars and stuff, they kind of like tie that they basically tie it to the Talon Dread Sundown murders, like the Texarkana like murders where the guy was like killing like young couples around Texarkana.
Okay, so they really ramp up these murders now.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, so like the Hook Hand Man story is probably like kind of got really started because of like those unsolved murders in Texarkana. And then there's like a babysitter murder, like a babysitter did get murdered at one in like somewhere, I think it was like in maybe like Texas or something, or somewhere in like the South. And so that's probably, that's like the closest thing you could get to like an actual like source for like the calls are calling from inside the house killer sort of thing. Right. So stuff like that. It's interesting. Some of the horror movie ties are like very, very loose. It's like, hey, there's the Candyman, but then there's also this guy who like poisoned Halloween candy. And so he's the real Candyman.
Yeah, so they just keep overriding the titles.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're into like true crime, like crime documentary stuff, it's and then also and want like kind of a horror movie filter for it. That's worth checking out. And then I also watched the WNUF Halloween special. Which have you ever heard of this, Chris?
No.
So it's, I guess technically it's a found footage movie, but it came out in 2013. And it's basically, the gimmick is that you're basically watching like a VHS tape of this like local news special that aired in like 1987 with commercials and all the commercials are fake. So it's like, so they made all these fake commercials and it's this fake like news special. And it's basically, so it's like an hour and a half. And like the first half hour is like the local news for Halloween night. It's like the local news. And then the last hour is like this actual, like the actual Halloween special where like one of the, like field reporter for the news station is like going into like a haunted house, like investigating it, and like bringing like, he brings like, there's like a fake like Lorraine Ed Warren that they bring in, and it's like to psychically like investigate the house. It's not scary at all. So like it's funny if you go on like IMDb and like read the reviews, like it's like either people get it and they're like into it, and it's like, oh man, these commercials are great. Like this is like so much nostalgia for the 80s. And then the other people are just like, what the fuck is this shit? Why is there so many commercials in this? Like, what are these fake commercials? Why is this scary? So I feel like you're either gonna get it or you're not gonna get it. I think for us, like if you watch this, Chris, you probably like really like it, because like it definitely taps into like, you know, because we always like watch like those like 80s commercial compilations and stuff on YouTube. Like this definitely has that like that sort of like vibe going on, and the fake commercials are absolutely spot on brilliant. Like they are like so dead on accurate to like actual commercials. Like you could cut all the commercials out of this movie, and just say it's an 80s like an actual like 80s commercial compilation, and people would probably be like, oh yeah, I remember those.
So you remember this like fruit snack? Like oh yeah yeah yeah.
Yeah. Like there's some really great like anti-drug PSAs that they make, and then there's like promos for like fake TV shows and movies that are coming up on the channel like in the next week or so. They don't specify exactly where this local network is. I feel like it's sort of like it's like maybe like the tri-state area, like it's like sort of like New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And I feel like it's probably like a WPIX maybe inspired a little bit, like that sort of thing.
Right.
Like your local network that like would air like movies and like have like TV shows and, but also had like local news. So yeah, I thought it was great. Like it's super hilarious. Like it's definitely, like there's tons of 80s nostalgia in it. It's super well done. Like it has like all the like it has like very like a ton of like VHS grain on it, and like it's at some point like someone like whoever made the tape is like fast forwarding through things, so they sometimes repeat the commercials, and so if it's a commercial you already saw before, they like fast forward through it.
Oh, really? So they kind of like, oh, like they in video edit.
Yeah, like it's like, yeah, whoever made this like fake, this bootleg tape of this special, this infamous special, like is like editing it, like fast forwarding through certain parts and stuff. So it there, I will say, like the ending is not great. Like it when it does become like, oh, we gotta be like an actual horror movie for like 5 minutes. Like that, it's not great, but everything up to that point is fantastic. So definitely, if you have Shudder, I would say definitely check it out. And then I watched the OG Night of the Living Dead on Shudder, which obviously you gotta watch some classics for the Halloween season. I think Night of the Living Dead is like everywhere because there's that weird thing where like they didn't put the copyright date on the title screen, so it went to public domain.
Right.
So it's, I mean, I think it's literally every streaming service on the planet has Night of the Living Dead on it.
I think we can own the rights to it too.
We can make our own Living Dead if you want it, Chris. I think. I think you can just film like a remake of Night of the Living Dead and like no one can stop you. but I mean, I mean, obviously it's great. It is a little weird. Like it's weird going back to it a little bit because like, even though it's, you know, it's like, I mean, it's obviously the basis for like most, it's for like every modern zombie thing. There's like weird things with like zombies in this movie that like don't really like continue or like are sort of like, they're like just in this movie, I think. Like the fact that like they're like afraid of fire, they're aware of fire and they're driven off by fire. And also that like they're still able to use tools and stuff. Like they pick up bricks and like smash windows and they're like smashing like car headlights and stuff. So like, yeah, the OG like Living Dead zombies are like, they have, it seems like they have like at least a little bit like more like, they have like a little like spark of intelligence than later on Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. They're just like completely they'll walk into like helicopter blades. these ones are they have like some sort of like a semblance of like, they like aware of danger and like aware of like, oh, if I need to like smash this window to like get this person.
Yeah, there's like some intelligence.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, obviously it's great. If you've never seen it, like I don't know what you're doing.
How you've not seen it at this point.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, definitely go if you've never seen it. Like, yeah, obviously, like stop this and go watch it like immediately. But like, if you haven't seen it in a while, definitely check it out too. It's on like, it's whatever streams have, it's on there. I'd bet money that's on there. So, And then last thing I saw is I got from my Netflix disc subscription, I got Jennifer's Body.
Oh, that's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. I added to my queue because like I feel like especially in the last couple of years, like I feel like it's like really been like there's a lot of arguments, a lot of like people being like, oh, this is like a cult classic, there's more people watching it. Cause like when it first came out, it was like, I think it got critical and financial disaster.
Yeah, they're trying to bank so much on it, or they're trying to make it seem like this is gonna be the sexy monster that people are gonna like think about forever. I don't think it'd be that.
Yeah, I think people either expect it to be like a full on horror movie or like a like, or like, yeah, it's like. It's like not scary enough, or it's not enough of either thing. It's like not funny enough, or it's not scary enough for like either like different people. So it's like, so it's just like, oh, it's for no one.
I mean, if you like what's her face, Megan Fox, yeah.
But I mean, definitely in like recent years, it's definitely become like a more of it's definitely like growing a cult following. And yeah, it's definitely fun. I think I would prefer if there was like slightly more like of like the horror stuff. Like if there was like slightly more of like Jennifer like murdering people, because there's only like a couple like big like her like killing people scenes in the movie. But I mean, yeah, there's definitely like a ton of fun stuff. Like Adam Brody is so great in that movie. Like, it's just like the asshole douchebag like
band rocker guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably don't understand how he knew to summon like the devil spirit.
Yeah. It was just well, it's like the reasoning is just because we're talking about like what, like 2008, so they're like they have to sacrifice a virgin to like be able to like break out from like the other like indie rock bands of the era. Like, it's like we got to separate ourselves from like Fall Out Boy and Good Charlotte and shit. So like I also love like there's like a running joke of like for like the rest of the movie after the bar they're playing in burns down, and like all these people like get horribly burned and murdered, like killed, they make the charity song.
Oh yeah.
And it's like every time someone turns on the radio, it's that song, and then like especially like Amanda Seyfried is just getting so pissed off about it and so annoyed by it.
This is like Between the Trees or something like that.
Yeah, like Through the Trees or something.
Through
yeah.
the Trees, yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually not a bad song. It's just,
no, it's a good song. It's like it's definitely super funny that it's just like constantly playing.
Yeah.
And also, there's also a great joke where it's just like, oh, they're gonna donate 3% of their profits to like the town. and then Amanda Seyfried's like, what about the other 97% of the money? And then also just like so many weird cameos and like random people showing up, like J.K. Simmons is like their science teacher.
I forgot
with like a
that.
Hook hand. He's like a hook hand, like a weird like Midwestern accent. Like Amy Sedaris is like Amanda Seyfried's mom.
Hmm.
And a random Chris Pratt cameo. Like
what? Like
before he was famous, Chris Pratt.
Where is he in this?
He's in the police academy and Jennifer's like fucking him, and then it's like, oh, I get out of speed tickets and like police, anytime I'm in trouble with the police, I just like call him. But yeah, tons of fun stuff. I do think some of the dialogue is Diablo Cody wrote it. And it's some of it is still like I hate Juno. some of the quirky dialogue like it's still like it like I'm just like
everyone right. Everyone's like snarky. I remember that.
Yeah, snarky, and they're trying. I feel like they're trying to do like the Mean Girls thing of like trying to like make slang happen. Like they're trying like it's like Mean Girls had like what did Mean Girls what was
Fetch?
Yeah, like there's the equivalent of like Fetch in this movie. Like there's a couple things that they're like trying to make it like a thing, and it didn't happen.
I mean, a movie's gotta try. I just didn't think it'd be this movie because they were trying like too many things. Like, okay, you have Megan Fox, which is like post Transformers, and get her to be a sex symbol, like a sexy demon, and then you have Amanda Seyfried as like the like quiet ugly girl that like the beautiful ugly girl.
Yeah.
And there's like a sexual tension between them sometimes,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. Cause like I asked my girlfriend that, I was like, you don't got a friend that just like, is just a bitch. And then just like, you just make out with, cause they're just a thing.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's just like unrealistic fantasy girls, which I get it. That's the thing. Who's this movie for? Is it for guys or girls? Because it's like pro women to like stand up against your friend monster, but then it's like enjoy the sexiness.
Well, I think it does a good job of like weaponizing like Megan Fox's sexiness. Like
yes, okay. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like she only kills like four people, I think. Right.
Yeah. There's like it's like the jock guy, and then like the like
Indian kid,
and then like the like kind of like the goth kid, the goth like who's friends with Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
And then eventually, then Amanda Seyfried's boyfriend.
Well, he just bleeds out.
Yeah, but like from a bite that Megafox like ripped his throat out with her demon teeth. So
I don't know why she wanted to kill him.
I think it was just because it was like
she was crazed.
to get back at Amanda Seyfried because she was like figuring out like what was actually happening.
I see.
And also just because like Jennifer is like a bitch who's just like, oh, I can just steal your boyfriend whenever I want. So
yeah, I feel like that's another thing. She's just like a vindictive person.
Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely a fun horror comedy. And that's it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We got all sorts of stuff up there. We've been doing horror-related stuff all month because you know, it's spooky October season. So we got like horror film of the week every week. We've got spooky songs. We've got like movies and TV shows to watch. Like you can watch the first episode ever of the OG Unsolved Mysteries on the site this week. Because apparently all of Unsolved Mysteries is on YouTube. There's like an official like Unsolved Mysteries YouTube channel that just has all of them to watch.
Interesting.
For free. So you can go watch the OG first episode with Robert Stack. And all the regular stuff is up there as well. So if you have our site, check all the stuff out. And for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.